word that God gave me this morning is just thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for everything that has gone forth thus far. God, we thank you for who you are. God, I ask that you remove me of me and fill me with you. Hide me behind your cross, Lord. Thank you for everything that you have done. Thank you for the word that you have given me. Thank you for allowing me to be your vessel in your obedience, God. I pray that this word that you have given me goes forth to the people as you have given it to me. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. If you want to turn to 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, that's where I will start from. And it reads, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" So, "My grace is sufficient" in 12 and 9 is a powerful reminder that you don't have to rely solely on your own strength. The idea is that even in struggle, limitation, or hardship, God's grace is enough to sustain, carry, and strengthen you. People often turn to this verse when they're feeling overwhelmed, worn down. It speaks to finding peace and strength, not eliminating the weakness, but getting you through it. So when he gave me this, I was riding down New Circle Road again, and it was like I was just not having a good week this week, and it's like every time Pastor Sonia asked me to do Risen Life, they scheduled me to work on a Sunday, and I'm like, no, we not doing this. So I prayed, and I said, God, whatever it is that is your will, let it be done, that I can go forth and figure out how I'm going to do this. So I texted you and I said, you know what? I'm just going to take the ride up on Monday. I don't even care no more. I'm going forth and I'm going to give this word that God has given me. And I was boo-hoo crying. And he said, in this moment, I am going to cover you. Do what it is that you need to do so that I can go, so you can go forth and be obedient in what it is that I gave you. So I got to work and I prayed on it and I said, God, your will be done, not mine. And the man came, he said, you know what? I apologize. We're going to figure it out. I'm going to allow you to have this Sunday off. And we will go forth from here and we'll figure it out. Because, you know, I had this obligation. I'm like, I have this obligation. My obligation is every Sunday. So we're going to have to figure every Sunday out. But I'll take this Sunday for now. So he gave me the breakdown of my grace is sufficient for you. So the "my" in "my grace is sufficient for you," this is God speaking. It's personal, not distant, not generic. It's his grace directly, specifically directed to you. It implies relationship, not just the rule of an idea. "My" equals God himself as the source. So the speaker is God, and in this verse, he's speaking to the Apostle Paul, but also speaking to us. He says, the grace comes directly from God, not from the circumstance or the people. The source is divine, not human. This matters because human strength runs out, but God never does. My also equals ownership and authority. It is God saying, this grace belongs to me. I control it. I give it. I sustain it. It's not random or accidental grace. It's intentional, given by God. This means it is reliable and uncertain. So he told me, I got you covered by your grace. By my grace, I have you covered. I have you covered under the blood of me. Go forth and do what it is that you know that you are supposed to do, that I called you to do, and we will figure it out on the other end. My is also the personal relationship. This isn't an abstract or distant relationship, but it's the relationship with God. God isn't saying that grace exists somewhere out there, but in the present time. He is saying, my grace is something that comes from me to you. A relational exchange, not in transaction. God is personally involved. My could also mean unique and unmatched. God's grace is different from anything else. It's not like a human encouragement, which sometimes the people in the human flesh, we can let each other down. Not intentionally all the time, but God's word is truth. He has never lied. It's not like a temporary relief. It's everlasting. And it's not only dependent on the condition that you are going through. It's a God-level sufficiency, not human-level help. My also can under equal identity revealing. When God says my, he's also revealing something about who he is. He's a giver, a sustainer, present in weakness, willing to share his strength. So my grace isn't just a gift. It reflects on the character of God, reflects on God's character. The strength you're receiving isn't coming from you, it's coming from me. My grace is sufficient, personally, intentionally, and unfailing. So when he gave me throw it in the bag, I have little papers, and I thought about it, and I was like, okay, I will not let fear overtake me. I will not let anxiety overtake me. I will not let nothing take me. So everything that I knew that God had given me and it has removed from my life, I'll take it and I'll throw it in the bag. And I know that I'm not the only one who is here that's going through things. So Kanye has a piece of paper, if you need a piece of paper, and we're going to take it and we're going to throw it in the bag. And we're going to leave it on the altar and we're going to give it to God and let him cast all of our cares out. I'm going to put mine in the bag. And then he goes on to give us grace. Pass papers out, baby. Grace means unearned favor, love, and help from God. It's not something you earn by being perfect. It's given freely. It also includes the strength when you are weak, peace when you are anxious, forgiveness when you fall short, support when life feels heavy. So we every day he gives us new grace and new mercies. We fall short, but we have to know that we have to die to our flesh daily and pick up our cross as he has instructed us to do and go forth and be that vessel. The original meaning of grace came from a Greek word, which is charis. Did I say it right, Pastor Sonia? Charis, the Greek word. Okay. It carries several layers. It carries favor, given freely, not earned, gift, something received, not achieved, and kindness, an act of expression of love, empowerment, which means the strength given to act or endure. So this isn't just being let off the hook, but it's being helped actively. Grace as undeserved favor could look like you didn't earn it, you didn't qualify by the performance, it's given because of who God is, not because of who you are. In this verse for the Apostle Paul, it mattered because he was struggling with the thorn. As we struggle with our thorns daily, we face trials and tribulations daily. Nobody was born perfect. We do not walk this earth perfectly. But we know that even in the trial of these times, we must stop and pray and give it to God and ask him to cover us in those times, not fight the battle on our own. Like I did the word of encouragement the other day, we are on the battlefield for Christ. I ain't never seen a soldier go out to war who was scared. You cannot be scared on the forefront and fighting for Christ. You have to put your feet down, stand flat-footed, and continue this battle as he has given it to you. God didn't say that you could fix it yourself the first time through. He said, I'll give you what you need anyways. Grace is an act of strength, not passive kindness. My grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Grace is God's strength working on you. It enables you to endure what you can't remove. It's not just comfort, but it's the capacity of what God can do. Grace in weakness. Grace shows up strongest when you feel inadequate, when you feel down, when you feel overwhelmed, when you don't have the answer. I didn't have the answer on Tuesday when he gave it to me. And the enemy came from left and right, and I just tried to figure it out on my own. I think I probably cried more time this week more than I've ever cried ever. And it was just like, God, what is it? Why me? Why me in this moment? Why is it every time that it's time for me to go forth and give your word, the enemy finds a way? He can't get to my kids. He can't get to me. He can't. So now it's, let me use your job to get to you. And, you know, and like Pastor says, even if you need the money, what is it? What profits the man? What profits the world? Yes. I can't worry about that money. This is what God called me to do. Grace is ongoing supply. Grace isn't a grace isn't a one-time gift. It's a continuous support, moment by moment, never running dry, like a steady flow and not a single drop. The grace versus self-reliance. This word, it can challenge you because we try to rely on our own strength, like I said, but it's not our battle to fight. Grace calls us to rely on God's strength every single time. Sometimes we know, I know me, I got this person. I got it. I don't need nobody's help. Don't worry about it. Especially if I ask you one time and you don't do it, don't worry about it. I got it. But I have to remember that in those times, that's not what God does to us. When we feel like that it's not a time, it's not his timing, but we try to be it on our timing. But like he said in Isaiah 60:22, when the time is right, I will make it happen. So we have to stand in the self-reliance versus the grace and realize that it's a merited grace. This is the grace that God has given us to go forth and do what it is that he is calling us to do. Grace means God's freely given, ongoing strength and help, working in you and sustaining, especially when you are in your weakness. Then it takes us to is. Is a present tense. It's not was or will be, but right now. It means God's help isn't delayed. It's active and available in your current situation. Is to the present tense right now is saying my grace isn't saying my grace was sufficient. My grace will be sufficient, but it's saying my grace is sufficient. This means that the grace is active right now. It applies to our current struggle, not just past or future. For the Apostle Paul in this verse, it was immediate reassurance. And for us, it's reassurance, too, to know that the grace that God has given upon us, that even in those times of struggles, that he will see fit and make a way through it all. In the middle of your pain, grace is already in effect. Grace is ongoing reality. It's the continuous truth. It doesn't switch on and off. He's not a light switch when he decides he wants to deal with you. He's an on-time guy, all-the-time guy. It's not dependent on changing feelings or circumstances. God's grace doesn't expire or fluctuate. It remains steady each and every day. The is certainty, not possibility. God doesn't say might be sufficient or should be enough or like, I just gave you a little bit. Here goes a little bit. Take it and go. No, he gives you what is sufficient for him. What he feels is what is going to allow your cup to run over. That means when he says is, that means no doubt, no conditions, and no uncertainty. It is a guaranteed statement, not a hopeful one. Is also an identity statement. This is deeper than just your action. It's who God is and how he operates. Grace is sufficient means sufficiently is built into God's grace by nature. It doesn't become sufficient later because it already is. It's not something grace tries to be. It's what grace is. What grace already is. Is also an independence from circumstance. Even if the problem stays, the pain continues, and the situation doesn't improve, it still stands. The sufficiency of grace is not based on what changes around you, but what remains true about God. That one word is means right now, continuously, and without question. God's grace already exists enough for what you are facing. And then he gave me the sufficient, which is translated in the Greek translation as archi, passed on you, which means enough, adequate, fully meeting a need, content and satisfied. It's not partial. It means nothing is lacking. Sufficient is exactly enough, no excess, no shortage. God isn't saying my grace will overwhelm everything instantly or my grace will barely get you through. He is saying it will be exactly what is needed, perfectly measured for the situation. Sufficient meets the need, even if the problem remains. So sufficient means you may carry something, but you will not be crushed by it. Sufficient also carries your completion. It means enough is endured, enough to keep going, enough to finish what you are called to do. Grace doesn't run out halfway through your situation. Sufficient leaves no gaps. Think of it like this. Where you are weak, grace fills it. Where you lack, grace supplies it. Where you're empty, grace sustains it. There is no deficit left uncovered. Sufficient also challenges the fears and the doubt. We often think, I'm not strong enough, I don't have what it takes, but sufficient responds with, you don't need to be enough, grace is. The pressure shifts off of you and connects with God. Connected to the next, right after this, God says, my power is made perfect in your weakness. So even when you're weak, his grace is sufficient. His power is everything that we need in that moment. Sufficient, it means the key word is enough. It's not barely enough, but fully enough. You may still struggle, but you won't be without support. What God provides will meet the need. Even if it doesn't remove the problem, you don't need anything extra beyond his grace to endure and grow. And for you, this makes it personal again. God is saying, the help, strength, and love I give you right now is fully enough for what you are going through. So sufficient is God's grace fully meets every need you have in this situation. So nothing essential is missing, even in the struggle. And then he took me to 1 Peter 5:7. But this morning it was originally 5:7, but then I kept going. So 5:7-11, I'm sorry. And it says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know what the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing, the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And he just broke down the verse 7 for me as well. And the cast, this comes from the word meaning to throw up on. So, you know, when you're casting something, you're throwing up on something to get something back, to place something heavy onto something else. It's not gentle or hesitant. It's decisive. Picture it like it's taking a heavy weight off your shoulder and putting it somewhere else. The stronger is in his hands, not ours. The all is not some. Not just the big problems, not only the spiritual concerns, but everything qualifies. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too big. He's the on-time God. This makes it personal, your specific worries, your real-life burdens. For Peter, the apostle, this was emphasizing that God cares about your situation, not just in general. The anxiety, the word means to worry, to care, the mental burden, things that divide your thoughts. I'm an overthinker. So if something don't go my way the first time, I got 10,000 things going through my head, like, why? And it is definitely something that I am trying to work on. Pray for me on it, because it's hard, like, especially being so dependent for so long, like, right now, my way. Not nobody else's way. This is how I want it to be done. And if you don't do it the right way, how I want you to do it is why. Why did you do it that way? I could have just did it myself. So I'm trying to work on that. The anxiety is something that keeps you up at night, loops your mind, and weighs on your heart. The on in this verse is in, this is important because it implies the transfer. Holding it while thinking about God, but placing it onto him, a shift of your responsibility. God himself, the same God we saw in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. It's not just an idea, it's a system. And it's yourself, giving yourself to God, a person who can carry you, carry what you cannot. And the because, this gives the reason, you're not told to cast your anxiety just because you should, just as a command. There's a foundation for it. He cares. This means that he is concerned, he is attentive, and he is always involved, not distant or passive. God is actively invested in what affects you. And the for you, this is deeply personal, again, not just for the people in general, but for all of us, for the strong, for you specifically right now where you are. And we have to put it all together. So the connection between my grace is sufficient and what he was telling us in 1 Peter 5 and 7 is the cast your anxiety means to release your burden. My grace is sufficient is God supplies what you need. So whatever it is that you are going through, just remember you have to let it go and allow God to continue to fill the gaps that he has placed upon you. So if you want to bring your little sheets and we're going to throw them in the bag and we're going to put them on the altar, we're going to pray over it and ask God to just deliver us or whatever it is that you are going through, that he takes it away and carries himself through, carries us as he carries us through it as he goes forth and does what it is that he is going to do. That's fine.